Hey everyone, before this episode of the podcast gets started, I just wanted to ask for your thoughts and prayers with the entire Metro Richmond, Virginia area of the fire service. It's been an extremely rough couple weeks for Metro Richmond firefighters. Three firefighters, two from the City of Richmond Fire Department and one from the County of Chesterfield Fire Department, all dying in motor vehicle accidents. And I believe all of them either leaving work or coming to work. So just some tragic stuff here lately. So if you could just keep in your thoughts and prayers their families and the families and firefighters of Richmond, City of Richmond Fire Department and County of Chesterfield. Welcome everybody to episode 71 of the Average Jake Firefighter Podcast. I'm your host, Robbie Owens. Tradition is the thing that unites the past and the future. I don't know where that quote came from. I don't know who said it, but it sets the stage perfect for what I wanted this episode to be. And this is going to be an episode that talks about traditions in the fire service, and specifically some of the best traditions that I've been a part of in the fire service. And it all kind of started for a couple different reasons. I've posted some stuff on my Facebook page about just some traditions. One specifically was when I got promoted, and this happened at this firehouse, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, but there's pictures of me being doused with shaving cream, and so that's a great tradition, you know, of what happens when your last day and your last shift, and I wanted to talk about that. But I also saw a recent post by Jeremy from National Fire Radio, where he was talking to James Gearing on a podcast episode, and they were talking about the science and everything of the Euro fire helmet and so on and so forth. And you can go look at the clip for yourself. But Jeremy was, while he believed in the science and he believed in everything, but the leather fire helmet, he said, was traditional. It was what firefighters are supposed to look like. It's what firemen are supposed to look like. And it's just, no matter whether it was not scientific or whatever, it's the tradition of it that makes it important. And I've been thinking about doing this podcast for quite some time, and so it just was really, it was really like that was like the spark that that really like set me off into this avenue. And I want this to be a little more of a fun podcast. I want this to be, you know, to talk about some of the good traditions. But what I hope it does is spark discussion and spark some memories in you to figure out what great traditions that you've been a part of. Or hopefully it sparks that you can create traditions, because some of these traditions, they were created by people, right? Like they didn't go on before this person made it, but then it became a thing, right? It became a thing, and it became a thing that some people still do today. And it's things that you can start. You can start with your shift. You can start at your firehouse. You can start at, you know, just anywhere, right? And there's some that have been a part of my entire fire service journey. There's some that I know of that I've been involved in and that was involved in even helping create. But that when we left those firehouses or that group of people went away, that the tradition kind of died. And that's sad, but that doesn't mean that you can't look back on them fondly. And hopefully some of these things I'm going to talk about today will spark your interest and spark your thoughts and really bring back that fire service tradition, or just that brotherhood that we want to feel in the firehouse. I can tell you, and I've talked about this on some other episodes, I've talked about it on my social media stuff, you know, recently got promoted to battalion chief and got moved for the very first time ever in my career from, you know, 15-year-old junior firefighter all the way to now. So from 15 to age 41, never worked in an office building in my life, have been riding fire trucks since, you know, been in a firehouse multiple times a week, since I was 15 years of age, and now being pulled out of that, which, you know, again, grateful for the promotion, right? Like, don't feel like I'm saying that I'm not, but extremely grateful for the promotion. But it is a hard adjustment to make when you've been working shift work for the last 21 years, right? Like, 21 years. I mean, most of you know my story. I was a volunteer firefighter at age 15, got hired as a career firefighter at age 20, got hired by my current fire department at age 22. And now here I am at age 41, now a battalion chief, but now sitting behind a desk for basically the first time in my life. Even as a teenager, I didn't work in an office. I mean, I had little odd jobs. I mean, I worked mostly doing like warehouse stuff. Worked in a roofing warehouse, worked as a lifeguard. I worked in a drugstore doing stock and basically stocking shelves, sometimes run the register, and the same thing, I worked in a toy store. Mostly taking deliveries and stocking shelves, and sometimes would run the register when it was a little bit slower. Pretty much hands-on work. I've done some everything on the side, from, you know, working for another fire department to cutting grass and doing some landscaping and, you know, stuff like that. So never in my life have I worked in an office environment. And so it's tough. And I can tell you, one of the things I miss is being in that firehouse environment, right? Like, because it's not the same. Like, we try to do the same stuff, and I think it's fantastic. One of the things that we do, and it's a tradition now that was started by someone, and it's one that I'm a part of now, it's a tradition that the staff officers, and because we have people in all sections, right? We have people in administration. We have a chief of human resources, and we have a chief of professional standards, and we have a chief of training, and we have a chief of planning, and then we have captains and lieutenants and stuff all in there. We have a communications liaison, all of these things. And one of the traditions that was started by one of our battalion chiefs when he was assigned to the office was, hey, we're still firemen. We need to not forget that. We're still firefighters first, firemen first, and we need to not forget that. We all have our various administrative duties now, but we need to not forget that. So we need to carve out some time once a week to sit down and talk about firefighting. And so now every Tuesday morning, 7:30, every administrative officer that's available, because of course, you know, meetings happen, things happen, but every administrative officer that's available comes to the third floor in our admin building, and we go into one of the conference rooms, and we talk firefighting. We watch videos. We talk tactics. We've been doing command board stuff. It's been fantastic, and I'm so thankful that I get to be a part of that. It's actually, to be quite honest, it's one of the best parts of my week. I look forward to that 7:30 meeting on Tuesday mornings so that I get to be a part of that, and some great things have come out of that. Our live burn scenarios, some of them have come out of that. We've created articles for the department that have come out of that. The article that I wrote is coming out in next month. So it is just a tremendously good thing that was started by just a guy who wanted to continue being a fireman, even though he was assigned to admin. Right, he wanted to continue to let us know that we're still firefighters first, and that we still need to talk tactics, and it's good, because just the other day, I was going to do one of my administrative duties. I was out in my county assigned car, and I was sitting at a stoplight, and a working fire came out 3 miles from where I was, and I ended up being the first chief officer on scene and took command. All that stuff, I posted about it on the Average Jake Firefighter page on Facebook. It was fantastic. And if you just completely ignore the operational side, even if you're assigned to admin, like, you're not prepared for that. So that's one of those traditions that I'm so thankful that I get to be involved in. And so let's get into the topic. Let's get into some of the best traditions that I've been involved with. And some of them, I'll be honest, they involve, like, you know, some of them are simple, and some of them are maybe are a little bit extravagant, right? But they're all fantastic in their own way. And some of them are so simple, but it's those things that you miss, right? They're little things that you miss when you leave the firehouse. And I gotta tell you, the first thing that I've been able to be involved of that has nothing, that's not specific to me or my fire department, is the tradition of wearing a leather fire helmet. And I'll be honest, when I was a kid growing up, the helmet that I wanted when I turned 16 and got my firefighter one, because in Virginia you could get your firefighter one at 16 and you could get your yellow helmet, the helmet that I wanted was a Cairns 1010. Didn't want a leather helmet. And I still have that Cairns 1010 hanging on my wall. It's the very first, it's not my first fire helmet, but it's the first one that I bought. It was my personal helmet. The other one I have hanging on my wall was one that was issued to me. Not just one other one, but the first fire helmet that I ever got issued as a firefighter. We had these orange, ugly-looking things that we passed on to other cadets that were basically, it was PPE, so you could train, but you couldn't go into a fire with them. But the first helmet I got was county-issued, but that first helmet that I was issued, that I bought myself, is hanging on the wall. And it was that Cairns 1010, and it just looked so cool. It looked so traditional, but as I got older and saw guys wearing those leather fire helmets and got to try them on and got to see them and learn the tradition of the fire service, man, I have gotten leather helmets every single time from now on out. When I got hired in, I didn't have one in Stafford because we weren't allowed to wear helmets that weren't issued. The second I got to Henrico, my current department, man, I bought a leather fire helmet. I bought a leather fire helmet in recruit school and just waited to wear it until I got into the firehouse, right? I didn't want any training burns or any training fires on it or anything like that. Just wore the issued helmet. But man, I got that leather fire helmet and I wore it until I got promoted to lieutenant. And when I got promoted to lieutenant, I got a red leather helmet. And I wore that red leather helmet until I got promoted to battalion chief. And one of the first things I did when we got the phone call that I'd made it, I bought a leather fire helmet. I went to my wife, I was like, oh, these things are expensive. I can get a county issued one. It's a 1010, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, nope. You've had leather fire helmets as long as I've known you. You got to have a leather fire helmet. And I was like, okay. So immediately got on there. Didn't matter how much it cost to her. She's supportive, thankfully. And I pulled the trigger on a brand new white leather helmet. And finally got to wear it the other day on that working fire we talked about a few minutes ago. Even once I became a line officer in the volunteer fire department, I had a leather helmet. I have a red leather helmet hanging on my wall from my days as a volunteer lieutenant and captain in the volunteer firehouse, right? I mean, so that leather helmet just symbolizes, it's just what you look at and think of when you think of a fireman, right? You don't think of those metro style or those European style ones. Ugh, horrible. You just don't think of that when you think of being a fireman. You don't think of that when you close your eyes and you picture the quintessential fireman. You're not seeing somebody in a European fire helmet. You're just not. You're seeing someone with that leather and that big eagle sitting up there and that shield or that helmet front sitting out there. That's what you're thinking of. That's what you're picturing. That's what you're looking for. And so I'm extremely proud that I have been able to be a part of a tradition that has been going on for just decades and decades, hundreds of years. I'm extremely proud of that. And it makes me sad that others don't see the value in it. I know those things are expensive these days. Trust me. Just bought one. Okay? Just bought one. It's the helmet I bought, it's like 4 months old, man. Like it's not, I know that it's expensive, okay? I see the price tag on these things. Inflation is a son of a bitch. All right? I understand. But man, nothing feels like wearing that leather helmet. Nothing feels like wearing that leather helmet. I don't know why. I don't feel the same when I put on a plastic helmet, a 1010 or an 880 or one of those old like Cairns Metro 660s, you know, I just don't feel the same. I don't feel the same. I strap on that leather helmet and I feel like I'm ready to do some work. I feel like a fireman. one of my mentors who recently retired, he always said, it was funny, he would always talk about like boots and helmets, and he would say leather on my head and leather on my feet, because he would like leather fire boots, leather station boots, and leather fire helmets. And that's what he wore, and that's what he always wore, and that's what he was going to continue to wear until he walked out the door.
That's exactly what we're talking about when it comes to tradition, right? Like, those are traditional things that firefighters,
like, I don't like the new wave, and I get it, man. Some of these boots, some of these station boots are uncomfortable, right? But man, I feel like you should, if you look like a fireman, you'll probably act like one. So if you got a leather fire helmet and you wear leather boots and you've got even those, you know, leather boots in the firehouse, like I wear Warrington Pros or whatever they are from Honeywell now. They're the pro style boots, right? But like, that's what I wear. That's what I wear. That's what I like. I don't like this other stuff. And plus the other stuff, it looks like spaceman boots. Those don't look like fireman boots. You know, our department is looking at going away from some of those. I'm probably just going to buy my own pair of a Honeywell Warrington Pros. As long as they keep making them. So they keep making them, I'll keep doing them. In fact, I'm thinking about buying two or three pairs so I can just have them. Right? Like, they look like fireman boots. That's what fireman boots are supposed to, you're supposed to look like. You're not supposed to look like you're wearing spaceman boots or loafers when you're in the firehouse. I get it. Sometimes they're uncomfortable, but oh well. I'd rather be uncomfortable and look like a fireman than I don't even know what. Look like a spaceman or somebody who's getting ready to go climb a mountain. But that's like the very first thing that I think of when I think of, you know, that tradition that you're being proud of. The tradition of what you wear in the fire service. Your bunker coats and your bunker pants and your leather boots and your leather helmets, right? Like we need to get back to that. There's some people that don't even... one of the most things that I hate the most, right? I hate the most is when people are like, oh, well, fire department will just give you that. No, they give me a helmet. Why would you spend money on that helmet? Because it's my helmet. It's my helmet. It's just the same way, like, I have my own hook and I have my own Halligan bar and all these things. They're mine. That is another tradition in the fire service of people maintaining their own tools. The best firemen I know had their own stuff. They didn't just wait for the fire department to give it to them. If they knew it was better than what they had, like, we didn't buy roof hooks for so long. We bought the standard yellow pike pole that would come with your engine. And it sucks. It's not a good tool. It's not effective. And so you just go buy your own stuff. We bought crappy Halligan bars for so long. We're finally, like, you know, in the last like 10 years, we've gotten to where we buy real Halligan bars all the time. So Halligan bars that we had sucked. So I go bought my own, you know, and everybody else that I know that was any damn good at this job has done the same thing. And that tradition goes back, again, hundreds and hundreds of years. It frustrates me and it makes me almost sick that people are just like, oh, well, whatever, the fire department will give you that. You see firemen that have nothing in their pockets. Oh, well, fire department didn't issue me a screwdriver or an electrical tester, so I guess I don't need it. Fire department didn't issue me, 20 feet of webbing on a carabiner that I can use to drag a victim or a firefighter or a hose line out the way, or, you know, attach to my Halligan bar and swing down and break a window from the floor above, any of that, right? Like, fire department didn't give me that, so I don't need it, right? That is, it's insane, right? That's insane. And just so that tradition of being a fireman is just that's what I really want us to get back to. And it starts really with what you're wearing, what you got on top of your head, what you got on your dome piece. And if you don't think that's important, then you're probably not as into the job. Right? And I see a direct correlation with that. And that's not there's exceptions to every rule, right? But most of the guys that I know that are into it, they got leather helmets, they got their own tools. Right? They go to conferences, right? And the guys that don't, well, they don't. They're not. They're not as into it. They're not as into it. And so, man, it starts there with putting that, and you can kind of tell when you walk into these firehouses what kind of traditions that they have already. What kind of traditions do they have? You can look around and you can tell a firehouse that has a ton of tradition and a ton of heritage and a ton of pride just by looking at some of the gear sometimes. Look at
man, these guys all have leather helmets, and, you know, and again, exceptions to every rule, but a lot of times you see people that are willing to invest $1,000 into what they're going to put on their head, and that they're exposed to, and exposed to heat and exposed to thermal insult and all this stuff. You look at that and you're like, man, this guy cares about this job. You can just tell by looking. So that's kind of like the start of where I want to go with this episode. And some of these, again, like I said, like are like the leather fire helmet. And some of these are, a lot of these are more specific to ones that I've been, ones I've been a part of in my fire service career. The next one, and some of these, a lot of these revolve around some food, right? Because what would a firehouse be if it didn't revolve around some food? But the next one is an initiation thing. When I got promoted to lieutenant, and this was a tradition that had already, that was already a part of this shift when I got there, and we continued it the entire time I'm there. And I think one of my buddies who just got promoted to lieutenant at that same firehouse is gonna restart that tradition. But when I got promoted to lieutenant and went to Firehouse 13 on C shift, I was told that, hey man, in order to be on C shift, you have to go across the street to this ice cream shop that was directly across the street from the firehouse. It's called Ray's Italian Ice. It's awesome. But they have this thing called the Colossal Cookie. And in order to be initiated into Firehouse 13, you had to eat the Colossal Cookie. And the Colossal Cookie was this huge ice cream sandwich. It was huge. It's got these two big-ass cookies with all this, like, frozen vanilla custard and chocolate sauce and caramel and chocolate chips. It is ridiculously huge. And, like, it is not for the faint of heart. But you want to be one of us, you got to eat the Colossal Cookie. And so I walked myself on over across the street and got myself a Colossal Cookie. And, whew. I got it all down, but man, the Colossal Cookie almost took me down. But every time that we got a new person at Firehouse 13 C shift, they ate the Colossal Cookie. You want to be part of us. You want to be part of the group. You want to be on C shift here at Station 13. You got to do the Colossal Cookie. And it was all within good fun. You know, people enjoyed it. People thought it was great. All these things. And, man, what a fantastic tradition. It was like an event. Like, oh, man, we're getting a rookie. Gotta go get the Colossal Cookie. Because this is not something you would get every... Like, we would probably go over to there probably like once a week or, you know, at least once a cycle when it was open because it closed for the winter. But we would go over there, especially in the summertime. You're probably going over there once a week. And the Colossal Cookie is not something you're getting just on a random Thursday night. You're probably going over there to get you a milkshake or maybe a scoop or two, but the Colossal Cookie is an event. It is an event. The Colossal Cookie was, and so it was something we looked forward to. It was like, oh, we're getting a rookie. We're getting a rookie. You know what that means, boys. And it's like, Colossal Cookie. And like, we all go over there and you wait to see the person walks up to the window, and we know it's like anticipation, right? It's anticipation that they're going to order the Colossal Cookie, and you're going to get to see the eyes of the, because they don't sell a lot of these things, man. It's like one of those like man versus food items. They don't sell many of these things. And you go over there and the person goes, I'll take the Colossal Cookie. And the girl working the window is like, her eyes get huge, and she's like, oh my God, her eyes get almost as big as the cookie. And when that person sees that cookie come out of there, they're like, oh my God, how am I going to eat all this thing? I have to work the rest of this shift. Like, what in the world, right? Like, it's just such a great and harmless tradition, right? That just was, but, and it was, it just became a thing. It just, it was a snowball thing. Like, and if you wanted to be a part of 13 C shift, you had to do the Colossal Cookie. And it was just a fantastic, fantastic tradition. Another tradition that was started at one another firehouses, and, you know, these fire, sometimes, you know, traditions start out of just like kind of coincidence, right? I've made it known before, and I've done some episodes on the podcast where, like, I'm no angel, right? Like, I have messed up in my fire service career, and most of us that are passionate
do, right? A lot of times our mouths override our brains sometimes. And so I just happened to be assigned to what was the punishment firehouse. And we were all over in the punishment firehouse. And everyone was there for a reason, some sort of punishment. This person was, you know, I was there because I said something to a battalion chief that he didn't like. Another person was there because they thought he was a sick leave abuser. One person was there because she mouthed off to her lieutenant and he wanted her transferred out. You know, all these different reasons, right? And it was the same on every shift. Because they sent you there because it was a busy, 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 busy EMS station, right? It was busy, period. The engine company ran a lot, but man, the EMS part of that place was just, it would beat you down if you let it. And so the station captain at the time was like, man, you know, and he was even there for like, you know, not a good reason, right? Like he wasn't there because he did something right. Like, so they send people there just to punish him and to sort of quote unquote straighten him out, right? And so we decided to embrace that. The captain drew up a logo of a firefighter behind bars and called it the cell block. He found out when the firehouse was built and he put, you know, the cell block. He made this huge Maltese cross with a firefighter in the middle with behind bars. And then at the bottom, it said, you know, waiting for parole since I can't remember the date on it, blah, blah. I still have some of the shirts, right? I still wear them. And they were for us. They were for us. We wore them off duty. We made patches, like all this kind of stuff. It was fantastic. We made t-shirts. We embraced the cell block. And then he went a step further. He got us all, everybody on all three shifts, convict hoods. He got us all convict hoods, and he issued you your convict hood. And this is when we could have our personalized hoods. Now we have the issued hoods or the cancer prevention hoods. But he issued us all convict hoods and called them your stripes, right? Called them your stripes. And you didn't just get these, like the ones that were already there, he gave them all to us. If you came in as a rookie or a new person, you had to earn your stripes. And that meant all these things, because everybody that was there, it was, you know, not everyone, but for the most part, most of the people there were passionate, right? We wanted to train. And so we turned that whole firehouse from a punishment place into a place people wanted to be, people wanted to come to. We turned it into a place where training was a priority, turned it into a place where, you know, you wanted to be at, you wanted to earn that convict hood. You didn't want to be the only one showing up on a scene. We didn't, without the convict, without your stripes. You had to earn your stripes. And then the other thing, the last thing, was when you left, because I got promoted out of that firehouse. And when I left, I had to turn in my stripes, because those uniforms were only for the cell block. You didn't get to go out. You know, it's not for other places. It's not for other firehouses. You got, quote unquote, turned in your stripes and you had to get jumped out, which, you know, was other stuff. It was just funny. But yeah, I mean, that just circling around that commonality and circling, and that was a fantastic tradition at that firehouse. That was a fantastic tradition. We were the cell block and we were all waiting for parole and we had our stripes and you had to earn your stripes. And it took a bunch of people who initially didn't want to go to that firehouse, and it made them love it. I was there for 2 years. My sentence at the cell block was only 2 years. But in that 2 years, like, I went from not wanting to be there to loving that place. And it being one of the fondest times in my fire department career. Because of all that. Because we rallied around each other. Because we made it a home and we made it a tradition. And it all started with just some simple stuff. Right? Some simple things. It wasn't hard. Make a t-shirt and that becomes our identity. And then we take it a step further by wearing the convict hoods. I mean, what a fantastic way to bring up morale. Because I can tell you that when I went there to that firehouse and most other people, they didn't want to go. The guy I worked for didn't want to work there.
right? He didn't want to be there. The guy they brought in to replace him at first was excited about getting promoted, but he wasn't excited about coming to the cell block, right? He wasn't excited about coming to the cell block, but we ended up all loving the cell block. We ended up, it became a place that we still talk about fondly. Like, I still talk to a lot of those guys, and like the guy who ended up being my lieutenant, who it turned out to end up become one of my closest friends, and we still talk about our time at the cell block, right? We've both been paroled since then and promoted since then, right? Like several times. And but we still talk about our days doing time in the cell block, as we say. But it was just fantastic. And you can do something like that in your firehouse, right? You can take that commonality, create an identity. It's something that even David Hackworth talks about in the book about face. It's something Jocko talks about in his books about how they weren't Task Unit Bravo. He called them Task Unit Bruiser. And David Hackworth called them, I cannot remember what he used. I think it was Recondos, the hardcore Recondos, right? Like they were like, oh, blah, blah, blah. He's like, nope, we're hardcore Recondos. And he would just start referring to like hardcore Recondos, hardcore. And then they would refer to him, like come back to him, say, no fucking slack and all this kind of things. And it was just, they created that mantra, right? And it wasn't, nope, we're not Task Unit Bravo, we're Task Unit Bruiser. We're going to go out there and this is what we're going to do to the enemy and this is how we're going to act and this is what we're going to do and all of these things, right? And you can create those traditions in your firehouse. And it becomes such a powerful, powerful motivator and people want to be part of it. And people that don't want to be part of it, they weren't going to be part of it in the first place, right? But then when they become the minority in that firehouse, the minority person who doesn't want to be part of the group or doesn't want to be, man, they have some lonely, lonely shifts. And that peer pressure can be a powerful, powerful tool for you as well.
Another great tradition was one that started when I was at firehouse number 6. And I don't think that anyone still does it there. But it was actually started by a guy who I worked with, and it was a fantastic shift. We all got along. We all liked coming to work and doing fireman work, and we all liked hanging out off duty and all of those things. It just was a fantastic environment to work in. And he wanted to make sure that the people who left that firehouse or got transferred or got promoted and moved and all of those things had something to remember it by and remember us. And so something simple, he bought, and everybody would pitch in, and he would kind of coordinate it. He would buy everybody a, like, Spyderco knife. And it was engraved, and it would be engraved with the name of that firehouse has gone through many many different iterations, but what we called it was the Nut House. And so on one side of the knife, it would say Engine 6 Truck 6 or Engine ENG 6 TRK. And on the other side of it, it would say the Nut House. And you would get the knife when you left. And, like, you didn't want to leave that place. Like, I spent my first 6 years in the fire department there, you know, in my current department there. And I had spent the entire time after I left trying to get back. I tried to go back a couple different times as a lieutenant, as a captain. Now I'll never get to go back because I'm a battalion chief, right? But I asked to go back there a couple different times in my fire service career. So no one ever wanted to leave, but everybody wanted that knife, right? Like everybody wanted that knife because it symbolized something. It was a symbol. I mean, that station is still the busiest station. It's the station that sees the most work. It's the station that sees the most calls. It's the station that everybody wants to go to. It's got a ladder truck, an engine, and an ambulance in there, and they're usually all the busiest of those, the apparatus types in the whole fire department. So, it was probably like, it's the only ladder truck I wanted to be assigned to because it literally went to every fire in the Eastern Battalion because there was only one.
out there. So every fire in the east, every extrication in the east, and some of the north end of the county, you got to go if you were assigned to that truck. So it was the only truck that I wanted to be assigned to. All the other ones, I could care less. You know, there's a million of them. In our west end, we have so many of them. It's ridiculous. And rightfully so. There's more population out there, yada, yada, so on and so forth. But like most of them go to fire alarms and turn around and come home. Truck six goes to work. And that's why I just loved being a part of that group and being a part of that. But man, like, I wanted that knife, you know, like I didn't want to leave. But when I got told after 6 years that I had to go, it was my time to go. I at least was happy that I was going to get the knife. I'd seen the knives get given to so many other people before me. And I wanted that knife, right? I still have it. I don't even carry it. Like, I have it in a drawer because I don't want to ruin it. It means that much to me. That little Spyderco knife that I don't even know how much it cost. You know what I mean? It probably is, at the grand scheme of things, it's not super expensive, right? It's probably less than $100. But man, that knife means the world to me. And I don't want to let that knife go. I don't want to ruin that knife. I don't want to take the chance of that knife getting lost or getting ruined. Like, that's a knife I want to be able to give to my kids one day, right? Like, it means that much to me. And most of the other guys and gals that were there, it means that much to them too. It means that you were a part of something. It means that you were a part of a tradition. It means that you worked in the busiest firehouse in the county. Because guess what? Not everybody has them, right? Like, it's one of those exclusive club things like I talked about with the convict hoods. It's one of those exclusive club things that if you ain't got the knife, you're not in the club, right? You can't say that you can't say that you worked here, right? You can't say that you were a part of this, right? Like, and I really hope that some people start bringing that back, right? Like, and you can do that at whatever firehouse you've been in, right? And like, and I'm telling you, people will become envious. People will become envious of the knife or whatever you decide, right? Whatever you choose to do. The next one and the last two that I want to talk about are both from the same firehouse, and one of them is super simple, and it revolves around food again, and then the other one is what we one of them I alluded to in the beginning of the podcast. Pizza Wednesday. Didn't create it, didn't come up with it, but man, I never knew how much I was going to miss Pizza Wednesday. Pizza Wednesday was a firehouse 3A shift tradition. And apparently it was really a guy who just recently got promoted to captain. He got promoted to captain the same time I got promoted to battalion chief. And that was at the time he was Lieutenant Joey Plaster, and now he's Captain Joey Plaster. And apparently Pizza Wednesday is something that he's just been doing his entire fire service career. And whatever firehouse he goes to, he carries that tradition with him. And so basically the way that our cycle works, I've talked about this before, but I'll say it again for those of you who don't. We do a 21-day cycle. Our cycle always starts on a Tuesday and always ends on a Wednesday. So the way our work schedule works, work Tuesday, off Wednesday, work Thursday, off Friday, work Saturday, off Sunday, work Monday, off for 3 days in a row. So that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Work Friday, off Saturday, work Sunday, off for 2 days in a row, Monday, Tuesday. Work Wednesday, off for 5 days in a row, come back that following Tuesday. So we'd work that Wednesday, be off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So you'd get your 5 day break. And so in that schedule, you have what we call Hell Week, or 4 day stretch, where you are in 4 day stretch is like the worst part of it. It's that Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Monday. And then you'd have your 3 day break. You'd have your 3 days off in a row. Then you'd have your Friday and your Sunday. And then you'd have 2 days off in a row. And then you'd work that Wednesday and have that that glorious, glorious 5 day break, right? And so, but a lot of times by that time you've worked Wednesday, man, you're hammered. You're coming in there for that last day. you've done everything in your cycle, right? Like, because then throughout that cycle, like Tuesday is truck check day, Thursday's grass cutting day, one of those days is your battalion training day, plus you're doing all the normal company training, running calls, all these other items, you know, one day is you clean the bay floors and all this kind of stuff. So you're doing all these things. By the time you get to Wednesday, you're smoked. You really are. Like, you're smoked. Usually, really, by the time you get to Monday, that's why we do that three-day break, man. Like, Mondays are the worst on that schedule. But then, man, you get to that Wednesday. But part of that Wednesday is, man, not a lot of people want to cook. Like, we've cooked all these other days. And so Joey said, man, every Wednesday, dinner is Pizza Wednesday. Dinner's Pizza Wednesday. And whatever pizzeria, at Fire Station 3, there's really only two choices. You've got the Anna's Pizza, which is not bad pizza, right by the firehouse, and then you have Roma's. And Roma's is a whole lot better. It's in a traditional Italian restaurant. They do a lot of stuff. And Roma's is probably a little bit better. And the best pizza over there was the Roma's Combo. And it was basically a pizza that had everything. It's got pepperoni, sausage, green pepper, mushrooms, onions. Like, it's got everything. It is fantastic, right? And so every Wednesday, Pizza Wednesday, Pizza Wednesday, Pizza Wednesday. And like clockwork, oh, it's Pizza Wednesday. Got to the point where, like, I would be at home and my wife would be like on a Tuesday before I'm supposed to go work that Wednesday. She'd be like, hey, do you want pizza? Nope, I'm having pizza on Wednesday. It's Pizza Wednesday, right? It's Pizza Wednesday. And so, man, I missed Pizza Wednesday so bad the other week. I ordered, there's a Roma's close to my house. I ordered their Roma's combo just for me, because I had to have that little bit of that nostalgia, that little bit of feeling, right? I had to have my own little Pizza Wednesday, right? Because I missed it that much. And those are some of the best. That's a simple tradition, man. Just have pizza on Wednesday. Nobody's got to cook. Everybody throws in a couple bucks. We have enough pizza for everybody. Bing, bang, bong. But it, man, when you do it so many times, it becomes tradition. It's a tradition. And now we're doing it, and I mean, I can't think of a Wednesday that I worked there where we didn't do Pizza Wednesday, right? It is just one of those awesome things, and like I said, I missed it so much, I had to get my own Pizza Wednesday the other day. I missed it that much. So I say that to say that, like, it doesn't always have to be complicated, it doesn't always have to be anything extravagant, right? But it can be a thing that you look forward to, and it can be a thing that you miss, and it can be a thing that you love, right? Like, it can be, like, I didn't even like Roma's pizza till Pizza Wednesday, right? Like, I'd be like, I remember the first Pizza Wednesday, I was like, God darn, can't you get something better than Roma's? I was like, you know, at the time, I was what we called a command captain, and so I was riding the battalion car with the chief, and yada yada, and so I had the ability, and a lot of times I'd be by myself, you're riding up as an acting battalion, and I'd be like, man, I was like, I have the car. I can go into other districts. Like, y'all want Papa John's, right? Like, I'll go get some pizza, right? Like, I was like, why are we getting Roma's, right? And they were like, nope, this is what we get, Pizza Wednesday. Okay. And at first, so, but man, I came to love that pizza. I came to absolutely love that pizza. And really, reality is, I love what it meant more. It was that consistency, and that we'd sit around the table and we'd eat the pizza, and you're laughing, you're joking. Nobody really has to clean up. We just throw the pizza boxes away, and you know what I mean? And we ate off paper plates, right? So there's no dishes at the end of the night. So at the end of the cycle, was this really a time for us to just sit back, relax, and be like, man, we've worked a hard, hard cycle, and we're going to enjoy this Wednesday before we spend the next 5 days with our family, and we'll be raring to go when we come back on Tuesday. And so it's just things like that that can really make the difference in a firehouse, can really make the difference in your career. And it's things like that that you don't even know you're going to miss until they don't happen anymore. And then it led to the last tradition that, again, was a Station 3A thing. And some people do this on different days. Some people do it on your birthday, too, but the shaving cream balm, and like I said, if you want to see some of those pictures, they're on the Average Jake Facebook page and Instagram. But on your last day at Fire Station 3A shift, you know it's coming. You just don't know when. And so you're kind of on edge the whole day. They find you and they corner you and they have Barbasol cans and they spike them with pocket knives and stuff, and they just shower you with shaving cream. And it's the worst and best tradition I've ever been a part of, because it actually shows that, like, they're gonna miss you, and you kind of have to earn that, right? Like, you know, you kind of have to earn it, and you kind of have to, they have to want to do it to you, right? Like, I've just about everyone I've been around, like, they want to do that because they know it's a form of love. Like, we did it to a guy from the other shift on his birthday, and it's because we love that guy, right? Like, he's fantastic. He's one of the best firemen in the department, and he is a jokester. He's good to be around. He's a good leader, and, like, we want to show him that we love him in the way that brothers show that we love each other, and that's sometimes with, you know, acts of debauchery, right? And, man, I tell you what, I'd love to go back in time and get that shaving cream busted all over me again and have to take a shower and be like, God darn it, you know what I mean? Like, it was in my ear and all this kind of stuff, in my nose. Like, I feel like I smelled shaving cream for like 3 days after that. I couldn't get it out of my nose. It took like 4 showers. But man, what a great tradition. And it is messy. But man, what a great tradition. And like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I hope that this sparks a good conversation. I hope that this sparks some thoughts in you of what you can do in your firehouse, in your fire department. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. I was going to end on the shaving cream one, but one of the other ones, and it's been a tradition in every fire department that I've ever been in, and that was on every time you did a first, you had to go buy everybody ice cream. So, like, you go to your first fire, you got to buy everybody ice cream. You go to your first, you drive the engine on your first call, got to go buy everybody ice cream. I remember when I went to my first house fire as a 16-year-old kid, I had to buy everybody on the scene ice cream, right? Thankfully, my dad had some money. Right, like, because I didn't have a part-time job yet, but still to this day, I was in charge of my first fire as a battalion chief. Not my first fire ever, right? Not my first fire ever, but my first fire as a battalion chief. And now my friends, rightfully reminded me that, oh, this was your first fire as a battalion chief. You owe us ice cream. And I was like, God darn it. So now I got to pay up. I got to pay my debts. I owe ice cream to 10 C shift and station 1 C shift, right? Like, I owe, and I'm going to pay up, right? I'm going to pay up because they're right. It was not the first fire I've ever been in charge of, but it's 100% the first fire I've been in charge of as a battalion chief. And so I owe ice cream to those guys. And so I'm going to have to pay up. So Monday, I'll probably be paying ice cream to those guys because they come back to work Monday. Well, they work tomorrow. It's a weekend. But they'll be at work Monday, and so I'll be dropping off ice cream probably before I head home for the day. Man, what great traditions. And it makes me smile as I sit here talking about them, and I'm sure you can probably hear that in my voice a little bit. And there's so many more that I'm probably forgetting. Or just forgetting to mention at the moment that are just fantastic. But that's what you can do in your firehouse. You can turn the tide. And it doesn't have to be anything big. It doesn't have to be anything extravagant. Even those little things can make a big difference in the morale of your firehouse and just in someone's life in general. Like I said, that knife is precious to me. I don't want it to go. I don't carry it because I don't want to lose it. I don't want to give it up. I don't want it to go away. I don't want to break it. The convict hood, I didn't want to give it up. I didn't want to give it up. I earned it. I earned my stripes. I didn't want to give them up. The leather fire helmet. I just saw the other day that a firefighter who passed away, all of his items are up for auction. And I'm cool with like some of the fire trucks and everything like that. And again, I don't know the financial situation. I don't know his family situation, whatever, you know, to each their own. But for me, that leather helmet, those leather helmets that I've worn, they're mine. And I don't want them auctioned off to some stranger. I want them to be handed down to my kids. I want them, and if my kids don't want them, let them rot away in an attic. I don't want some stranger displaying my helmet. If my kids or my grandkids, my great-great-great-grandkids want to display that leather fire helmet that their grandfather wore when he was a battalion chief, then they're welcome to it. But I won't be auctioned because it's precious to me. It means it's tradition. It's precious to me. It matters. And I hope that just listening to this makes you think about some of the things that are precious to you, makes you think about some of the things that you love in the fire service, makes you think about some things that you can do in your firehouse. Maybe there's some things you're already doing in your firehouse that you can formalize, right? And you can use to make morale better, make your firehouse life better. And make the fire service better. And I think that's all I have for that. But yeah, just you know, think about it. I hope it makes you think. I hope it makes you want to embrace the great things going on in your fire department, the great things going on, because it would be easy to talk about all the negativity, and there's a lot. There's a lot. I'm not going to lie. Like, there's people getting stabbed in the back. There's people getting fired for no reason. There's fire chiefs that are egomaniacs. I know, okay? I talk to a lot of people. I know a lot of people in different fire departments. Like, you know, there's people. There's problems everywhere, right? There's problems everywhere. But there's still so much good. There's still so much good. And it was something that I've been saying this a lot, especially to my brother and other people that have been having their down times in the fire service, is like, don't let the poor leadership kill your love for the job. Don't let the poor leadership kill your love for the job. Find the good that's going on in the fire service. Find the good that's in your firehouse. Maybe it's only in your firehouse. That's okay. Create some traditions that keep it good or make it better. And like I said, I think that's all that I have for this one. And as you guys know, I couldn't do what I do without the help of some super, super fantastic companies. The first being Vanguard Safety Wear. Vanguard Safety Wear, the makers of the MK1 Fire Glove, the Squad 1 Fire Glove, the MK1 Ultra. Those things are made for work. I'm a proud member of the Vanguard Safety Wear Army. I've got the sweatshirt. I've got the MK1s, the MK1 Ultras. I just, actually, one of my friends purchased the Squad 1s, and I got to wear those for the first time. I just don't find myself needing extrication gloves as much these days, and the ones I had were good. I'm probably going to get a pair of Squad 1s. They are ridiculously comfortable. They are ridiculously light but durable. Man, I mean, the dexterity in the Squad 1s, like, it's unmatched, right? Like, I tried on those things, and then I went and I put my old, like, extrication gloves that I've had for a while. Like, those are going to go away from here. I'm just going to get myself a pair of Squad 1s. I don't even know why. I'm just going to get them. Okay? I probably don't need them, but I'm going to get them because they're that awesome. Okay? So, go to VanguardSafetyWear.com, VanguardSafetyWear.com, or DingusFire.com, and join the Vanguard Army and become wearing some of the best fire gloves that are out there. Vanguard Safety Wear, made for work. The next is Taylor's Tens. I wear Taylor's Tens every day. That brand new Battalion Chief Taylor's 10 got to be unveiled to the world the other day on that work and fire that I was on. Taylor's 10s are durable. In fact, the lieutenant on the First Do Engine Company had a Taylor's 10 shield, and it was like it's like a secret brotherhood, right? I walked up on the scene, he came out because I wanted to give he wanted to give me a face to face. He comes out the door, I'm standing in the front yard to go give him a face to face. He points at his Taylor's 10, and I knock on my Taylor's 10, and it was like we're in a secret brotherhood, right? So stop burning up leathers, start wearing Taylor's 10s, and by the way, they make other things other than helmet fronts. They make locker tags, helmet fronts. They make pump chart cards. They make everything. They make playing cards. They literally make everything. They make cups. If you've been following Taylor's 10s on the website and on Facebook, he's got all these metal tin cups that he puts out there. Just a fantastic, fantastic, fantastic product. So stop burning up leathers. Start wearing Taylor's 10s. Go to taylorstens.com. That's taylorstens.com, and get you a Taylor's 10s helmet front today. Tacticalworksheet.com, IDLH Technology, makers of, in my opinion, the absolute best command boards on the planet. Just the other day when I showed up in that work and fire, actually another office person, the logistics captain, he happened to be in the area as well, and he showed up and he was running accountability. And guess what he was using? He was using the tacticalworksheet.com IDLH Technology command board with the steering wheel desk. He was like, I'll take your accountability for you. And you know what? I knew it was going to be good because he had that command board in his hand, because I know that that's the best command board on the market. I carry it in my county issued chief's car now. It is the absolute best command board on the market. It is laid out the way that I think. It's got a reference guide. It's got all these things that are fantastic. So go to tacticalworksheet.com. That's tacticalworksheet.com, and get you all the best command board products out there. And lastly, Fireground Commander Conference coming back next year, 2023, Henrico Theater. Go to embracetheresistance.com. That's embracetheresistance.com. Click on the FGC, the Fireground Commander Conference tab, and you can register for the absolute best conference in Central Virginia. I can tell you it is the best deal in the country. We're going to have 8 speakers, lunch provided every day, snacks and drinks provided every day, staffed by the Metro Richmond Flying Squad. Probably a social. We're still working on some of those details. For $175. All of that, 8 speakers, 3 days, 3 lunches, snacks and drinks provided every day, $175. Guarantee it's the best value in the country. The venue's fantastic at the Henrico Theater. It is one of the, it is the absolute best conference in the state of Virginia. It is the absolute best that we can bring to you every year, and we're always trying to get better, always trying to improve it. And it's going to be speakers like Nick Papa, Tony Carroll, Phil Joes, Brent Brooks, John Hayawick, Jess Rodzinka, so many more, right? Like, we've got so many things going on, so many different topics. There's a topic there for everybody. So again, go to embracetheresistance.com and join us for Fireground Commander 2024. And lastly, you know what we do. Make sure you're spending 1 hour every day in the library, reading something about our job. Watch a YouTube video, read an article in fire engineering, read a book, learn something about our profession. Make sure you're spending 1 hour in the gym, staying in shape for the job you promised and swore that you would do. And make sure you're spending 1 hour a day doing some sort of hands-on training, putting your hands on the tools and equipment we need to do our job. You do that, you'll become a pretty phenomenal firefighter, I guarantee it. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Stay aggressive. Out.